Church bells set up a hideous clamour at every prayer time, or whenever a corpse was carried for burial in the city's graveyards. Packs of dogs roamed the streets, red kites roosted everywhere, and smoke lay like a fog over the thatch that had all turned a dull black. I saw a wagon so loaded with thatching reed that the wagon itself was hidden by its heap of sagging reeds that scraped on the road and ripped and tore against the buildings either side of the street, as two slaves goaded and whipped the bleeding oxen. Men shouted at the slaves that the load was too big, but they went on whipping. And then a fight broke out when the wagon tore down a great piece of rotted roof. There were beggars everywhere. Blind children, women without legs, a man with a weeping ulcer on his cheek. There were folk speaking languages I had never heard. Folk in strange costumes who had come across the sea, and in the old city, which we explored the next day, I saw two men with skin the colour of chestnuts. And Raven told me later they came from Blarland, though he was not certain where that was. They wore thick robes, had curved swords, and were talking to a slave dealer whose premises were full of captured English folk who would be shipped to the mysterious Blarland. The dealer called to us, "You three belong to anyone?" He was only half joking. "To Earl Ragnar," Breeder said, "who would love to pay you a visit."
"Give his lordship my respect," the dealer said, then spat and eyed us as we walked away.
The buildings of the old city were extraordinary. They were Roman work, high and stout, and even though their walls were broken and their roofs had fallen in, they still astonished. Some were 3 or even 4 floors high, and we chased one another up and down their abandoned stairways. Few English folk lived here, though many Danes were now occupying the houses as the army assembled. Breeder said that sensible people would not live in a Roman town because of the ghosts that haunted the old buildings. And maybe she was right, though I had seen no ghosts in Jofrek. But her mention of spectres made us all nervous as we peered down a flight of steps into a dark pillared cellar. We stayed in Lundain for weeks, and even when Halfdan's army reached us, we did not move west. Mounted bands did ride out to forage, but the great army still gathered, and some men grumbled we were waiting too long, that the West Saxons were being given precious time to ready themselves, but Halfdan insisted on lingering. The West Saxons sometimes rode close to the city, and twice there were fights between our horsemen and their horsemen, but after a while, as Yule approached, the West Saxons must have decided we would do nothing till winter's end, and their patrols stopped coming close to the city.
"We're not waiting for spring," Ragnar told me, "but for deep winter."
"Why?"
"Because no army marches in winter," he said wolfishly. "So the West Saxons will all be at home, sitting around their fires and praying to their feeble god. By spring, Uhtred, all England will be ours.